Are you struggling with neuropathy, that painful numbness in your feet, that squishing feeling, those lightning bolts of pain, perhaps in your ankles and other joints and extremities? Hi, this is Marty Terrell for InnovativeWellness.Center in Clive, Iowa. Christy Steiger, InnovativeWellness.Center. Reach out to Christy and her professional staff if you are struggling with neuropathy like I do. They have turned it around. They haven't reversed it all, but they have attacked it and done it professionally and effectively at a very fair and reasonable price. Avoid the $49 come-on ads in the chiropractic industry. They do not work. And in the end, you'll spend thousands of dollars chasing what is virtually impossible to reverse. Innovative Wellness Center. Elevate your well-being. Give them a call at 515-355-3200. InnovativeWellness.Center. At 515-355-3200.
Welcome. You're listening to Sports Econ 101, the show where we discuss sports topics from a business perspective. I'm your host, Edward Brown, along with my co-host, Russell Jackman. At each commercial break, we're going to ask a sports trivia question, and today's trivia theme is NBA players. We're also, hopefully, Mike McDowell is going to be able to join us as a guest co-host, having a little bit of issues with the computer, and hopefully Mike will be able to join us maybe in the next segment. All right, and our special guest in the next segment is going to be Mark Beal of Mark Beal Media. And he's got some very interesting sports topics to cover when we have time. Oh, first of all, I do want to make a mention here. We do want to welcome yet again the talk of the town, 97.7 and 1570 AM WHTX in Youngstown, Ohio. And a special thanks to Operation Manager Carl Bloom. So thank you for adding Sports Econ 101 to your lineup. And when we come back, we're also going to talk about Russell Wilson. Apparently, he just got cut from the Broncos, and want to find out from you guys if that's the worst trade ever or close to it. Russell, what do you think?
Yeah, it's an $85 million mistake. And, you know, nobody thought it was a great move when they signed him for that much money. And now they may really pay the price for it.
Yep. Okay. And apparently he'd signed a 5-year deal worth up to $243 million with $161 million guaranteed. That's a lot of matzo balls to make a mistake on. And I think Mike's going to be able to join us in the next segment here. So what we want to do here is we're going to go ahead and go to our first commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to introduce Mark Beal and find out who is this guy. He's going to give us a little bit of a rundown of who he is, what we're going to be talking about, and then we're also going to add Mike McDowell onto this. All right, so stay with us. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. Don't touch that dial. We're going to be right back.
In the ever-evolving realm of real estate, where uncovering exceptional deals presents a challenge, a tailored solution awaits. Picture yourself receiving exclusive off-market real estate deals directly to your inbox each month, an opportunity for any astute investor. Embark on this journey at mortgageinvesting.com and delve into the potential waiting for you with Scottsdale Mortgage Investment's exclusive trade desk. This platform unveils a spectrum of opportunities, providing entry to off-market mortgage notes, including performing loans, non-performing loans, and REOs. What adds to the excitement? This carefully curated selection of deals is refreshed every single month. Ready to enhance your real estate strategy? Take definitive action now. Visit mortgageinvesting.com, enlist in the trade desk, and unveil an assortment of exclusive off-market deals with Scottsdale Mortgage Investments. Seize this opportunity. Navigate to mortgageinvesting.com today and redefine your real estate journey with Scottsdale Mortgage Investments, where exclusive possibilities converge with your investment ambitions. Act promptly and join now.
Attention business owners, how can you attract 22,000 new customers? How can you generate 10% in new sales? By accepting iText dollars for sales in the cashless marketplace, your business can access an exclusive cashless distribution channel, attract new customers, and generate new sales. Barbara Hill says,
iText has been one of the best things I've ever done for my business. It brings me business I would never reach with any other marketing.
It's simply the best cashless marketplace around. iText will change the way you look at money. Members in increase sales, conserve cash, and utilize a new distribution channel by using iText dollars to transact business. iText is the leading marketplace for cashless business transactions across North America. Our members processed more than $300 million in transactions last year. The fact is, iText dollars work. Isn't it time they started working for you? To register, visit itext.com, promo code 408408, or call 408-504-8400. For more information.
The Elk Cove Inn, voted number one of 77 bed and breakfasts in Mendocino County, invites you to explore one of the most romantic boutique hotels on the Northern California coast. This one-of-a-kind ocean view inn is part bed and breakfast, part homestead and sustainable farm. The Elk Cove Inn goes above and beyond to offer a home away from home experience with unpretentious comfort, complete amenities, beautiful gardens and grounds, breakfast in bed, fine dining experience, and a day spa. Be prepared to relax, unwind, and recharge. Our spectacular ocean view rooms and cottages welcome you with a gift basket, champagne, and delicious breakfast. Enjoy the afternoon with a bonfire, wine, cheese, and games. A favorite for romantic getaways, the Elk Cove Inn is also a popular destination for reunions and business gatherings. Go to ElkCoveInn.com for reservations. That's ElkCoveInn.com.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Russell Jackman. And finally, we got Mike McDowell to join us as an additional co-host here in the studio via Zoom. We have our guest, Mark Beal of Mark Beal Media. Mark, welcome to Sports Econ 101.
Edward, thanks for having me. Glad to join the roundtable tonight.
All right. So tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll get into our questions.
So currently I'm a professor, assistant professor at Rutgers University, where I teach public relations and marketing courses. But 30 years in advance of that, I was immersed in sports and entertainment marketing and public relations. So along with my teams, we create campaigns around the Olympic Games, the Super Bowl halftime, U.S. Open tennis, NCAA March Madness, all helping sponsors leverage and activate their sponsorships with the goal of engaging their target audiences and their target consumers. So that was the focus for 30 years, and I had a lot of experience, and now I'm sharing that experience with my students at Rutgers University.
All right. So, Michael, why don't you ask the first question to Mark?
Yeah, you know, hey, Mark, in a brief synopsis form, I know you're a Rutgers guy. Just real quickly, Rutgers going into the Big Ten, has it really been a good thing for the program overall? I mean, what do you think? What's your opinion on that? Because they haven't had the great success that I personally thought they were going to have.
I know. Yeah, as someone who graduated from Rutgers in 89, so I've seen Rutgers transition through a variety of conferences, right? The Big East and others. And I think it's been fantastic for the university for a couple of reasons. One, this is an incredible marketing platform, right, for the university itself. And that the exposure they're getting on, you know, network television, cable television, games like that. But if you look at the sports, every sport, you know, men's soccer won the Big Ten championship a year ago. Women's field hockey ranked top three, top four, top five. You know, women's soccer, wrestling. Men's basketball has had a really nice run over the last couple of years. And football, now that Greg Schiano's back, is getting back there, right? They won the Pinstripe Bowl this year over Miami. So, personally, I think it was a great move, smart move, strategic move, especially as we see conferences now, right? The consolidation of conferences. And as you know better than I, you don't want to be left out of that. You want to be part of that. And so I think being in the Big Ten right now is the best place for them to be in 2024 and beyond.
All right.
All right. I do want to ask you. Oh, I was going to say, I wanted to ask one of these questions a little bit further down here, where it says here, Gen Z and Gen Alpha, which I hadn't heard that term yet, are not turning to network TV and cable TV for content, including sports. Where are they consuming content? And the first thing I thought of was when they had the Miami Chiefs game on Peacock TV, the rest of us were kind of going, wait a minute, how can we not see a playoff game? And I think, if I remember correctly, that's probably the first time that that's ever happened.
Yeah, so Edward, you raised a great point. Roger Goodell addressed this at his State of the State that he does every year, right? So on that Monday or Tuesday of Super Bowl week in Vegas, that question was asked him. And his response, and I'm paraphrasing, was, we need to go where our future fans are consuming content, all types of content, but even specifically sports content. So you're right. I mean, I'm an old Gen Xer, right? I grew up on traditional network television. I watched football every single week on CBS, right? Fox, yeah. ABC, Monday Night Football, all those things.
Yeah.
Well, you bring up Gen Z and Gen Alpha. And so real quick, just, you know, Gen Z, according to Pew Research Center, born in 1997 through about 2012. So Gen Z this year, the oldest are already turning 27. So they've been out of college and working for a couple of years. But you still have Gen Zers as young as 12 and 13. So let's just say, you know, sixth, seventh, eighth grade and everything in between. And then Gen Alpha, to your point, Edward, is the next generation. So they're, in essence, age 0 to 11 right now.
Okay.
And the point is, both these generations, unlike, and again, I can always point my finger at myself, a Gen Xer, they don't consume traditional media, traditional channels. They consume a lot of content, a lot of information, and a lot of sports content. But they're doing it primarily on what I call their big three, TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube. It doesn't mean that they don't once in a while sit in front of this thing we call a television set, but that's not what they do. It's not part of their behavior pattern, right? There's a great
quote. But how are they going to watch like a full football game? You can't watch a full football game.
Absolutely. I thought a great quote from the former CMO of MTV. Gen Z is the first generation that learned to swipe before they wiped. Since the age of 1, 2, and 3, they're you know, accustomed to, used to, whatever the right word is consuming content on a phone, an iPad, and watching, believe it or not, an entire sports event, an entire game. That's what they're used to. They don't have the behaviors that Xers, boomers, even some millennials have of kind of what we call, used to call appointment TV, right? Super Bowl's on. I've got to sit down now for the next five hours in front of this television and watch. Big change. And sports leagues, sports teams, sports sponsors, sports properties have to understand that if they're going to have any shot at engaging Gen Z and Gen Alpha. And
I'm part of the baby boomers. I'm a little bit toward the tail end of the baby boomers. Sure. And I remember there was something screwy going on with my TV, and I had to like actually watch whatever I wanted to watch, like from my computer. And it was the weirdest thing. I felt like, I'm not really watching this thing because I'm used to doing work on the computer, not watching something on the computer screen.
But to your point, to Gen Z, Gen Alpha, and even young millennials, that's their routine. That's their habit. They're used to that. So
yeah, on the phone, I watch the whole thing on the phone. I mean, I've done that like in an airplane. Sometimes, you know, that's the only way to watch it is with your phone. And Russell here, he's the computer expert.
Well, then Russell knows. But go back to your point. Roger Goodell said, we're not getting away from network television. We can't, right? The numbers are there. But we do need to be doing more on the channels that these potential next generations of fans are viewing. So you guys know this, but let's just hit it. First time ever this year, the Super Bowl, first time ever in 58 years, aired on Nickelodeon. First time, right? Always been on a network.
Yeah.
While it was on the network this year on CBS, it was on Nickelodeon. I watched the Nickelodeon telecast. Completely different approach, right? They explained what a field goal was. They explained what a punt was. Right? Because the audience for Nickelodeon was a Gen Alpha audience, most likely parents of, you know, and the kids who were 7, 8, 9, 10, who maybe have been watching their first football game for the first time ever.
Well, if I remember correctly, hearing like the Super Bowl on Nickelodeon, didn't they like have like cartoon type things going on?
Oh, yeah.
Did they do it on this one too?
And there was green slime. And yeah, so they in it. Yeah. So, completely different telecast, but I think it's innovative. I think it makes a lot of sense. It's a way to, again, introduce the league, the shield, the brand, the game to this next generation. Because that next generation, again, isn't sitting around watching CBS. They're just not.
And I sure hope they saved a lot of that green slime for when that punt bounced off the back of the 49ers.
Oh yeah, I would use
you know, a lot of green slime for that. I do have a question or a statement, which is that, you know, I don't mind the fact that they would make it available for streaming. What I have a big problem with is like the Kansas City versus Miami game, where it's only on streaming. And and they it's one thing to make streaming a supplemental addition to viewing. But when you say you have to get, because what I am really afraid of, what I am afraid of is eventually the football will be on 17 different channels during the year. You'll each week will be a different, you know, pay service that you need to watch your team play on. So you've got to get subscriptions to 17 different services. And then the playoffs will be all on different services. And then the Super Bowl will be on a different service. So to watch football, you'll have to pay $2,560 per year.
You might as well just fly to the game. Hey guys, we have to cut to our commercial break. And I just want to make one thing really quickly that I still remember being like 4 years old watching football with my dad, not understanding it and going, "Dad, why are all these guys falling down?" Right. So I that new Nickelodeon would have been perfect for me back then. Okay. Here's our first trivia question on NBA players. And if you guys remember, don't say anything until we get back. If you know the answer, which player attempted a record number of free throws, 39 of them, in an NBA postseason game? That's our trivia question. All right. Okay. Which NBA player attempted a record number of free throws, 39 of them, in an NBA postseason game? All right. Stay with us. You're listening to Sports Ecom 101. Don't touch that dial. We're going to be right back.
Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
How is your car payment treating you? What if I told you could make a free phone call right now and reduce your car payment by as much as $83 a month? Look at your car payment closely. You could be paying as high as 20% interest. Rate Genius can help you reduce your car payments by reducing your interest rate to as low as 2.48% APR. We can refinance most existing car loans or leased cars, new or used, and save you money every month. Put more money back in your pocket. The call is free to find out how low we can lower your car payment. 5 minutes of your time right now could save you hundreds of dollars a year. Call Rate Genius now.
800-811-7913. 800-811-7913. 800-811-7913. That's 800-811-7913.
Not all applicants qualify for a loan or rate savings. Actual offer terms, including APR, are determined at the time of your application based on creditworthiness, value of the vehicle, loan term.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. I'm Edward Brown, along with Russell Jackman and our extra special guest, co-host Mike McDowd, and then our special guest, Mark Beal. Here's our first trivia question. Which player, NBA player, attempted a record number of free throws, 39 of them, in an NBA postseason game? All right, anybody, what's the answer?
Sounds like something that James Harden would do.
You know, it's funny that would actually would have thought that too, but no, that he didn't do 39 of them. Mark, Michael,
I don't know for sure, but I just know when Shaquille O'Neal was in his prime, they fouled him all the time to go.
There
to the
you
line.
Go, so Shaq. That's the answer. It was Shaq. Do you remember the old hacky Shaq?
All right.
By the way, we are at the 62nd anniversary of Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game. That was just two nights ago. And I have a tiny little bit of trivia, which was that the last 2 minutes and 45 seconds of the game, Wilt Chamberlain did not take a shot. And and they gave him the ball and he just passed it away. And they asked him, why didn't you score more than 100 points? 100. He said, you know, because 102 doesn't sound as cool as 100.
You know, it's funny. I wonder, it's like, who was actually counting? Because a lot of times guys don't even know how many points they have. And until the end of the game. And it's so funny, we've had Al, I've said this before, we've had Al Addles on the show before, and he says, yep, he goes, one time me and Wilt scored 117 points in a game. I love that. Let's see here. Michael, do you want to ask one of the questions to Mark?
Yeah, you know, Mark, I know you just hit Nickelodeon, and for me personally, it was a strange thing. I mean, is that where we are? And I want to ask you a more specific question, but, you know, it just seems like we're dumbing down the game so much. You're hitting an audience that obviously, I guess, doesn't know football. And I guess that's the whole goal of showing a Super Bowl on Nickelodeon.
Well, I think it's – so we look at bigger picture, and again, the four of us on this roundtable, we're not the audience, right? Because – we've been around, we've watched our share of games, we know the history of the sport and all that, but any and all sports leagues, sports teams, they do need to start looking at, okay, how do we engage an 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old, because I don't want to say it, guys, but one day we're not going to be the fans anymore, right? We're going to be beyond, and they're going to need to figure out, how do I engage this next generation, whether it's Gen Alpha, Gen Z, and all those. So I think it's about entertaining, it's about educating, it's about informing, it's about, you know, another point that we all brought up, you know, when we were growing up, we had very few options. First of all, we had no social media. Two, we had ABC, NBC, CBS, maybe an independent station. Yeah. You know, prior to 1980-ish or so, we didn't even have ESPN. So now there's just so many options, and everyone is competing for this potential fan. So even though the NFL is big and successful and all those things, they have to compete, and they know they have to compete. And so it's one of the reasons why partnering with
okay, but in okay, so in 30 years from now, if I'm still around, is the Super Bowl going to be just slime and no Nickelodeon stuff? No. Where they're not going to have a regular game?
No, I don't think so. But I'll and it goes to Russell's point earlier, and I'm not trying to be bold here and in response to what Russell said, but I think Russell went down the right path. You know, just last night in Vegas, you had Carlos Alcaraz and Rafael Nadal compete in Netflix's only second ever live sporting event. Yes, it's an exhibition. I get that. I tell my students, you know, 10, 15 years from now, Super Bowl could be on Netflix. But it could be. I'm not saying.
Yeah, it's all about the Benjamins, baby.
It's all, yes, absolutely. So
I just wonder how much the Peacock have to pay. You know, that was a very big anticipated playoff game between Miami and Kansas City. You know, because we all knew it was going to be really cold and all that kind of stuff. I wonder how much did Peacock have to pay to get the rights to that and exclusive rights.
Well, you've got obviously the partnership with Sunday Night Football and NBC already, right? So there's already a partnership of some sort there.
Yeah.
And so it, you know, for lack of a better word, there's always a relationship. Now that game, and I know Goodell was very big on this, it averaged 23 million viewers, which was a big, big number. So yes, there are, not everybody has Peacock and can simply just dial into Peacock, right? Some folks who got in had to go pay for it, but I guess the point he was making is that, you know, the media landscape is evolving, the media landscape has changed, and some of those potential fans are, you know, spending more time on things like Netflix and Peacock and other, you know, even Thursday Night Football on Amazon Prime, right? I mean, 5, 6, 7 years ago, you'd say, there's no way there's going to be a game on Thursday, and it's only going to be on Amazon Prime. But,
you know, I'd like to see the statistics on how many people signed up for Peacock just to watch the game and then canceled.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Let's see here. If we don't mind, let's kind of move on. You know, we were talking basketball before. You're talking Will Chamberlain there, Russ, and LeBron, first to reach 40,000 points. Holy smokes. I mean, think about that. That's, you know, figured, let's say 20 years, 2,000 points.
And he might have another 5 years left in his, pocket, especially.
Well, he's going to be 40 this year. You think he's going to play?
He's probably arguably one of the best player on the Lakers and certainly in the top five players of the league right now.
Yeah.
Given his numbers, he hasn't had a lot of significant injuries. And he, if he's willing to take a bench role later in his career, you know, he might be able to extend out his career. But he's going to be able to play at least another 3 years without massive injury to him. I think he'll play at this level for another 3 years, maybe another 2 years as a bench player. And the Lakers really don't have any other plans for what to do outside of LeBron. So, you know, the Lakers are going to, you know, do like they did with Kobe, which is get on their hands and knees and beg him to stay until, you know, he literally can't move anymore. Because that's what they
do. Well, hey, let me ask you on these stats. Do they include postseason?
No, they will. I don't think they do.
So that's really impressive because that's averaging, you know, 30 points.
Oh, wait, no. For total points, yeah, it is postseason.
So. Okay. Because I was going to say, I can't imagine he averaged 30 points for 20 years straight. That's almost like a Cy Young type of.
And he has played like about two or three more seasons than he normally would have when you add up his postseason games.
Okay, listen, it's still impressive. You know, I didn't want to take it away from it, but wow.
Well, guys, real quickly, LeBron's got plenty of juice in his tank still. He's still physically superior to a lot of NBA basketball players. He can hop out of the arena. He can run faster. He's been proving it all year long, including the pre-NBA tournament that I didn't watch very much of. But he wanted that tournament, and that was part of his legacy. Now he's got plenty of juice left in the tank.
And isn't he? It seems like his three-point shot has gotten better. I don't know.
Yeah, he can shoot the ball. Let's face it.
Yeah. It's funny. I know that Russell doesn't really like to talk about this, but there are a couple of quick things that were mentioned here. So last week I was watching. So this male high school basketball player injured three girls before halftime because he was, you know, he decided he wanted to be a girl, for these games. Well, I don't want to say just for the games, but and I think the other teams. Coach said, you know what, we're going to forfeit this game because it's halftime and I've got three of my players injured. You know, the reason I mentioned that is because apparently Olympic boxing is now going to allow the transgender males to compete against women. Did you hear about that? Can you imagine what that's going to do? It definitely would be something I think people would be interested in watching, you know, but I'm trying to think of, did they have women boxing in the Olympics? I don't remember that.
I believe women boxing has been in the Olympics. I'm trying to think of how many times, but the way, you know, things work now, it's interesting. So LA 28, which is the next time the Olympic Games will be on U.S. soil since winter 2002 in Salt Lake, and summer games since 1996 in Atlanta.
Yeah.
The Olympic Games now, the host organizing committee, they can add 5 sports for those Olympics. Now, those sports may not carry over. Yeah, okay. So sports like squash, believe it or not, were accepted and will be played at the LA 28 games. They may never be played again. But so we do have, like, even the Olympics realizes we've got to continuously evolve, transform, innovate, and, you know, kind of
I'm still waiting for Tiddlywinks to come. I'm a Tiddlywink champion. Actually, didn't they have bowling in there one time?
Yeah.
I think they did. All right. Hey, guys, you ready to cut to our next commercial break here? All right. And by the way, hey, Mark, how do people get a hold of you if they're interested in your services in the media?
I mean, I would say, you know, LinkedIn, Mark Beal, is probably the easiest way to reach out to me. Any information I can provide, any help I can provide, those kinds of things. So I think LinkedIn's always a great spot.
Okay. Very good. All right. Here's our next trivia question. We're talking NBA players. The first NBA player to win both the MVP and Rookie of the Year titles in the same season. All right. Who is this player? And don't worry, we're not going back to 1947, Russ.
You'll know this answer because I was just talking about this very player.
Okay, there you go. I think you do know the answer. All right, again, here it is. The first NBA player to win both the MVP and Rookie of the Year titles in the same season. That's our trivia question. Email edward@sportsecon101.com. Don't touch that dial. We're going to be coming back with Michael McDowd, Mark Beal, Edward Brown, and Russell Jackman.
Are you aware of the 30% federal tax credit available now when you purchase a Tesla Powerwall in California? Act now, and you'll not only receive a 30% federal tax credit on your Tesla Powerwall, you'll also reduce your electric bill. Want a free estimate? Want to claim a $100 off voucher for your Tesla Powerwall installation? It's easy. Just call Tesla Powerwall Certified Installer, Integrity Electric, and mention the name of our friend, Edward Brown. Call Integrity Electric at 415-499-8844. Once again, 415-499-8844. Since 1993, award-winning Marin County-based Integrity Electric has been recognized as a leader and trusted expert in their field. Our web address, integrityelectric.net. That's integrityelectric.net. Integrity Electric. .net.
Mountain Mike's Pizza in San Rafael is open for both takeout and delivery. So if you want pizza the way it ought to be, call us at 415-454-4300 or go to mountainmikesanrafael.com and order online. You can either pick up your fabulous pizza or we can deliver it to you. Our dough and shredded cheese are made fresh daily. So call 415-454-4300 or go to mountainmikesanrafael.com and order your pizza.
Palio Restaurant's been the premier Italian restaurant serving downtown San Francisco since 1990. Palio features fine Italian fare and a Wine Spectator award-winning wine list, so there's no surprise it's been voted best Italian restaurant in the SF Weekly this year. Palio has consistently been voted one of the best restaurants in San Francisco by San Francisco locals. Palio's been in business for over 30 years and recently went through a complete remodel. Our guests can expect to receive the same excellence in food and service that has sustained us for over 30 years in a brand new and more modern space. Our 250-plus seat restaurant includes seating in 4 distinct spaces, making social distancing while dining easy in our establishment. All precautions are taken by staff to ensure a safe dining experience. Open Monday through Saturday. Reservations are recommended. Visit PolyoSF.com to view our menus and make a reservation today.
And enroll in Scottsdale Mortgage Investments' exclusive trade desk. This trade desk offers privileged access to off-market mortgage notes, including performing loans, non-performing loans, and REOs each and every month. Visit MortgageInvesting.com today to sign up and seize exclusive off-market deals with Scottsdale Mortgage Investments.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. Edward Brown here along with Russell Jackman, Michael McDowell, and Mark Beal. All right, our second trivia question. The first NBA player to win both the MVP and Rookie of the Year titles in the same season. Mr. Russell Jackman, what is the answer?
Well, you know, it's funny that you bring this up because I was just talking to my best friend who's a huge NBA fan about there have only been two players that have gotten it. One is the guy that we just talked about, which is Wilt Chamberlain.
Yeah.
But who is the second player to do that?
If you're throwing that out, Russell, I've got two thoughts in mind. One is someone who came over from the ABA, like a Dr. J.
No. And I'm going to say it is so off. You'll never guess. You'll never guess.
And then the other was going to be maybe an international player like Yao Ming.
No.
Okay. Those are my two.
Wait, give me the year.
1968-69.
Ooh, we've heard of the player though, obviously.
Oh God, yes.
Yeah.
Former coach.
Oh, Willis Reed?
No. No. It was Wes
Unseld. Is he a local guy?
Wait,
was he a Bay Area guy?
It was Wes Unseld.
Wes Unseld. Oh, man. Okay. That, you know what's so funny? That's who I was. It's funny.
And
I said Willis Reed.
One Rookie of the Year and MVP. Okay.
Gotcha. And did you say he was a local guy?
Yeah, I was going to say Rick Barry, but that's not true.
Oh, no, okay.
Not as Rookie of the Year. Not as Rookie of the Year.
So, Mike, you wanted to ask Mark one more of these questions here.
Yeah, Mark, important question. Can you share an example from one of the pro sports leagues? We know there's many of a successful Gen Z campaign or program. I think that's a decent question.
Yeah, we've talked a little bit about football and what they're doing. We talked about Nickelodeon and all that, but the National Hockey League is the only professional sports league that I'm aware of, and I studied this pretty closely, that launched 5 years ago what I call a Gen Z incubator or a Gen Z think tank. And every year, they bring in approximately 30 Gen Zers from Canada and the U.S. It's called the NHL Power Players Youth Advisory Board. And so the CMO there, Heidi Browning, is all in on Gen Z. What they do, and any league, any sports team could do this, but very few do, they in essence invite these 30 Gen Zers into the boardroom all year long. How can we create better content? How can we make the in-arena experience better? What can we be doing with our players to make them more appealing, attractive, whatever the right word is, to you, Gen Zers? And so I always give a thumbs up to the NHL Power Players Youth Advisory Board 5 years in a row. Each year, it's another 30 different Gen Zers from, again, North America, across the United States, and Canada. And they're advising the CMO and others on, here's how you make the game, the sport, the league more interesting, more engaging, more attractive, more appealing to us 17, 18, 19, 20 years old. I love it. I think it's smart. They've done it consistently 5 years. And I do think that every other league, even the NFL, should be doing the exact same thing. But it takes just the simple but powerful invitation to say, hey, come into the boardroom with us. We want to hear from you on a regular basis. We want to better understand what's engaging your generation. And we want to start applying that to our league, our team, whatever it might be. So NHL Power Players Youth Advisory Board really just a smart, strategic, innovative initiative that Heidi Browning and her team have done now for 5 years straight.
Very cool. Russell, do you want to chime in there?
No particular comment about it. I agree with it, but, you know, it's not a really controversial statement. It's just, you know, I think that there is this general feeling like, hey, we've got to include the next generation in on what we got to go to where they are. They aren't going to come to us. So
you said it, Russell. And I'm going to pull on Russell real quick. We just had in my part of the country, in East Rutherford at MetLife Stadium, the Stadium Series, right? The NHL Stadium Series. So that was a Saturday, Sunday, right? We had Devils, Flyers, Islanders, Rangers. Monday morning came to class, and I just said, show of hands, how many of you attended? First of all, it was a much larger number than I thought. But two, it was more about what they shared, the experience. From the moment they got parked their car till they went into the stadium, it just, it was interesting to hear from these Gen Zers who were probably, you know, 20, 21, 22 in my class, that for some, it was the first time they ever went to an NHL game. And they just were raving about this unique experience. And, you know, so again, that again, contributes a little bit to it, is bringing the game, as Russell just said, bringing the game somewhere than the traditional venue, the traditional arena. And we know other sports do that as well. But that was just within the last couple of weeks, and it really resonated with Gen Zers.
But I do find it kind of ironic that, you know, these days we have TV sets that are 75 inches, 85 inches, 100 inch TVs. And yet, you know, we're trying to push TV watching onto the phones and the tablets and, you know, people's smartwatches, where you can barely see what's going on. You know,
it's more of the convenience. I've tried to put a 75 inch in my TV in my pocket. It didn't work very well. So
yeah, that's why. But it's, you know, when I was a kid, the one thing I was hoping for was to stop watching on my little 13 inch color Hitachi TV with rabbit ears, and, you know, watch an ultra 4K HD, you know, on an 85-inch screen. Yeah. And now we're all moving backwards to the smaller possible screens, you know, as an audience. So I don't really understand how that works.
Listen, I'm old enough to remember I used to have to stand on the TV with the rabbit ears and point my arm to the west, southwest.
Well, my college TV, I used to have to hit on the side to get it to, you know, whap it on the side and on the top, to get it to, you know, fully come in, the picture to fully come in. So,
all right. You know, how many of you guys are old enough or actually did this like I did, where your car, you know, people would break off antennas before they came out with those springy ones. Now they don't even have them. They're built into the windshield. We would take an old coat hanger and stick it in there, and it worked just almost just as well. Mark, you look a little too young for that, but
I think I've seen it, but never did it.
Okay. Hey, I got a quick question for you guys. Court storming, especially with these upsets in basketball, how best to stop it? Because that, I don't remember his name.
Dave Dravecki would like to know the answer to that.
Well, Dravecki got, wait a minute. Why would Dave, I'm trying to think. I know Dave Dravecki lost his arm for cancer, but how did that?
Yes. Well, he was just recovering from cancer in his arm. And there was a huge on-field celebration, and he ran onto the field during the celebration, and somebody ran into his arm and caused another reinfection, and that's when he had to lose the arm.
So we didn't know that happened. I remember him falling off the.
He probably would have kept his arm if he had stayed in the dugout. Gosh. And so, yeah, that's why I say talk to Dave Dravecki about, you know, how to reduce a post-game celebration. It literally cost him his arm.
Wow, because the basketball player, someone hit his knee. Apparently, he's going to recover
fast. It can be totally chaotic. And, you know, fights can break out, you know, when fans from the other side who aren't so happy that their team lost, you know, storm the court as well. And there's just no excuse to get onto a field or a court or a, you know, what have you.
I can't remember which game it was, but there was like a big celebration of all these guys piled on each other, and the guy at the bottom was like injured for the next game.
Anything can happen when you look. There's no excuse when you're a fan to ever get on the field like the idiot streaker that ran onto the field during the Super Bowl. You know, you want attention. You want to try to be as big as the game itself as a fan. And you're not. I've got news for you, fans. You're not bigger than the game itself.
Yeah, in his case, didn't he like somehow monetarily benefit from that?
Yeah, he made some kind of bet that he couldn't
do. Yeah, but I thought it was more than just a bet. It was like someone filming him. Because obviously they don't show it on TV anymore like the old days because they don't want to encourage it.
But everyone's got their darn cell phones. So it yeah. really, you know, it, yeah. whether or not it's shown on TV doesn't mean.
Maybe he was advertising for Google or one of those guys or something. You know?
That's one way to get product recognition. You can either pay, you know, $5 million for an ad, or you can just sneak onto the field and pay your fine for being arrested, which is only going to be like $10,000 or whatever. It's money, yeah. you know, if even just a fraction of the audience sees it, you've gotten your money's worth.
Good point. Michael, go ahead.
Hey, let's take it a step further. There was an example of a kid in Phoenix, Arizona, a high school basketball player. After the game, the entire team piled on each other. Fans came on the floor. Well, guess what happened to that kid? He was had a full ride scholarship as a volleyball player to Stanford. And what happened to the kid is he actually got so injured he became paralyzed. So it can be very, very dangerous. And, you know, that's one of the tragedies about that type of behavior. Furthermore, class act, Stanford actually honored his scholarship in men's volleyball. He did matriculate at Stanford. And so that was, if there was something neat about that story, that's it. But, you know, there's a kid with his whole life in front of him that should never, ever, ever happen.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that definitely is a class act by Stanford to do that. That's very impressive. But I appreciate that. I really do. I like that. One last thing here before we get to break. So the NFL apparently is the only one of the big four sports that does not allow private equity investment, but it's up for discussion. So now the Green Bay Packers, they are a publicly traded company, if I remember correctly. And all the other teams, they have, you know, they have their own way of owning a team. And in fact, it's funny because many, many years ago, there was a, you know, in me doing real estate loans, there was somebody who owned a piece of the Sacramento Kings, and he wanted to put that up as collateral. And I said, well, if you can get every other team owner to agree to it, then we'll make you the loan. Well, they couldn't do that because they didn't want to, you know, have us foreclose on them. And suddenly you got Edward Brown as a partner now. And I'm going to decide who the starting lineup is, you know. But I thought that was kind of interesting because I guess other sports, it says that is the only one of the big four sports. So what do you have? Hockey, basketball, baseball, and football that doesn't allow private equity investment. But again, it's up for discussion. So I'd like to see what happens with that.
Yeah.
Who knows? All right. We've got just about 45 seconds to go before we have to go to our next trivia contest here. But yeah, the Russell Wilson, holy smokes. He had signed for a 5-year deal worth $243 million with $161 million guaranteed. And now it's...
But who said that was a good deal? Did at the time that it happened, was there one person that said, oh my God, that's going to be great for Denver?
I don't think anybody's worth $243 million with $161 million guaranteed. I mean, what happens when a guy gets...
Mahomes did.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah, you got me on that one. But it's
something that Purdy might be in a couple of years. You know,
maybe in a couple of years. When they get injured, though, does the guarantee still mean guaranteed?
Yep, that's what guaranteed means.
Well, they see that to me, I wouldn't guarantee anything. The guy gets accidentally hurt, and he's out. All right, are you guys ready for our last trivia question? All right. This is a multiple choice question. One of the following NBA players, which one did not win Rookie of the Year award? Larry Bird, Patrick Ewing, Magic Johnson, or David Robinson? All right. That's our trivia question. Out of the following NBA players, which one did not win Rookie of the Year award? Larry Bird, Patrick Ewing, Magic Johnson, or David Robinson? All right, stay with us. Sports Econ 101, and we'll be right back with some closing comments. Don't touch that dial.
The
you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738. How would you like to publish and sell your own audiobook? Great stories deserve great storytelling. Audiobook Network provides professional voice actors and full production services for every author's manuscript. You'll choose from one of our many voice actors. Bring your story to life with audiobooks. Consumers are mobile these days, and having an audiobook helps authors reach a larger customer base, which increases book sales. From narration, production, and editing to distribution, promotion, and sales, Audiobook Network does it all for you. We hold your hand throughout the entire production process. We'll create an audiobook that you can be proud of. It doesn't cost or take as much time as you may think. In fact, for us, it's pretty easy. It's what we do. If you've got a published print book, ebook, or even a manuscript, give Audiobook Network a call right now and get our free audiobook guide. 800-514-0521. 800-514-0521. That's 800-514-0521.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. Last time for today, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Russell Jackman, Mike McDowd, and Mark Beal. All right, our third trivia question. Out of the following NBA players, which one did not win Rookie of the Year award? Larry Bird, Patrick Ewing, Magic Johnson, or David Robinson?
I'm going to go with Larry Bird.
Okay, we have Larry Bird. Mark, what do you think?
Obviously it's either Johnson or Bird because they both started the same year, so they were both rookies that first year. So I think, and my memory should serve me right, but I'm going to get this wrong, but I think Bird actually won it.
Well, okay, so the question is, which one did not win?
I think Magic Johnson did not.
Okay, so we have Larry Bird, Magic Johnson. Mike, what's your answer?
Well, I kind of agree with Mark there, actually. But I'm just to be different, I'm going to go Robinson, okay?
Okay, actually, it was Magic Johnson. He's the only one who did not win Rookie of the Year award.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Again,
wow,
and I remember 1979. Yeah, they said, and I remember that those two players said, you know, they're the guys who saved basketball back in 79, I think it was. All right, guys, thanks for joining. Now, here's our thoughts for the day. So I applied for a job today, and they asked for three references. So I wrote a dictionary, a thesaurus, and a map. I thought that would get me in. And did you know that your pupils are the last part to stop working when you die? And the reason is they dilate. Dilate.
Oh, that's silly.
Is that a good one, Russell?
Yeah. Oh,
you like that one, Russell? Okay, good. We always have to.
I'm going to use that one.
Okay, good. As long as we get a chuckle out of Russell, then I know I did well.
And something
all right. Yeah, Mark Beal, thank you for joining us as a guest. And Mike McDowd, good job. We're going to have you on again as a additional co-host when you can make it. That'd be awesome. Audience, tune in next week to Sports Econ 101. We're going to be discussing sports topics from a business perspective and asking more sports trivia questions. Thanks for listening. On behalf of our team, I'm your host, Edward Brown. We'll see you next week.
Adios.
So long.